Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
As the Christmas season is upon us, and we have already heard some of the story through the eyes of one who was there, let us continue his story. An unsung hero.
Whose presence was not felt, whose voice not heard, whose opinion not asked.
Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. Luke 2, verses 3 to 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary's ancestral town, because both of them were of the house and line of David. It's located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Back then, it was just a small cluster of homes, no more than 2,000 to 3,000 people. The Judean desert lies to the east, and the hill country is to the west. Bethlehem was just a roadside village on a major trade route between Jerusalem and Hebron. The word Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. It might have been given this name because wheat and barley grew in the hill country. Large stretches of pasture land in that same region made good grazing for both sheep and goats, and it was the same sheep and goats which were used for temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. The homes of that area were built near or over natural limestone caves. Niches for oil lamps could be carved out, as could stone troughs for the feeding and watering of animals. It might have been the same kind of trough which was used as a manger for baby Jesus. Bethlehem is not at all like it was at the time of Christ's birth. The population is now about 25,000 people. It has been fought over and changed hands many times over the years. Now, when not in the midst of war, its major economy is tourism. If you were to stand in the midst of the town, you would see shops selling souvenirs. You would smell food from the restaurants, which sell native Bethlehem food. You would hear Muslim calls to prayer. Several tourist sites are there, including a cave built over a church where it is believed Jesus Christ was born. Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there was no room for them in the inn. Many have pondered what this means. First, we should realize that in the Greek, as Luke used the word, no room in the inn, it really is not an inn like we think of. This Greek word is used one other time in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus says to his disciples, go and prepare the guest room for the Passover meal. That was the night to which he was betrayed. And so really a better translation for this word here is guest room. Now, there is one other spot in Luke where it actually does use a word that is we translate as inn, where we think of a hotel. And that's where the Samaritan, after bandaging up the man who was beaten and robbed, put him on his donkey and took him to the inn. And that is the guest area where people come, travelers. What really is meant here by the word that Luke puts in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 is more of a guest room. Remember, Joseph and Mary were coming down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They knew relatives there. This was their lineage. Guest room probably meant guest room of one of their relatives. Now, why would there is no room for them in a guest room? Well, there's two real possibilities. One is there was a census going on, and it could have been used by so many other of the relatives. Or it could have been that Joseph was bringing this pregnant woman when this is in the middle of the betrothal and not fully married. The union should not have been done, and this was an adulterous affair, some may have thought. And so turned him away out of embarrassment. Shame for their relative Joseph. Regardless, Joseph and Mary couldn't find any place. What they finally did find, we know there was a manger, a feeding trough for animals. And that's why most people from history and church lore and tradition suggests a cave in which animals were kept.
Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
And on earth, 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 and on earth,
to men on whom his favor rests.
His favor rests.
Shepherds weren't exactly the first people you would expect to hear the good news of Christ's birth. They lived most of the time out in the country, eating, sleeping, living with their sheep. They didn't always get a chance to observe temple practices, nor did they attend synagogue regularly. And when you live out in the countryside, you don't exactly get a chance to bathe very often. Luke 2, verses 15 to 17. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
let us then go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger.
Joseph may have thought things were finally settling down. He probably got his carpentry business in Bethlehem up and running, found a place for Mary and his new son to live. Things seemed to be going well. Until, as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 2, 2 years after Jesus' birth, some other visitors came to meet the newborn king.
The arrival of the wise men from the east was quickly noised throughout Jerusalem. Their strange errand created an excitement among the people. The news of these things quickly penetrated to the palace of King Herod.
The excitement outside, sir, is caused by men from the east. Parthians, there's something about bright lights in the sky, an unusual moving star. Well, they claim they know the baby Messiah is here, and they insist on seeing him. This way, please.
Welcome to Jerusalem.
Greetings and salutations. Where the Messiah is?
He is here, somewhere. The star led us here.
The star? What star?
In our own country, we saw a bright light lighten up the western sky.
Yes, then we made extensive study, both of our own literature and yours, to discover, if possible, what the bright light was.
Then we saw the star.
Only it wasn't really a star, or a planet.
Just a bright light resembling a star in the heavens.
Yes, and we followed the star.
It moved. It led us here to Jerusalem. It stopped and stood still.
That's why we're here.
Summon the priests and scribes to an audience at once.
Why are you trying to conceal the truth of this new prince you claim is born to the throne? You have searched your scriptures carefully, and you know where this new prince is born. I command you, tell me!
It is written in the prophecies of Micah, O king, that he shall be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel.
Be gone, all of you, now!
And lackey, summon the magi from the east. I will talk to them.
Be quick about it ere they leave Jerusalem.
A wild tempest of anger raged within the heart of King Herod. But he preserved a calm exterior and received the wise men from the east with royal courtesy. He professed to hail with joy the animation of the birth of Christ. He bade his visitors,
search diligently for the young child, and when you've found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also.
We will, your majesty.
You are dismissed. Go quickly to Bethlehem and find this new prince.
The wise men departed alone from Jerusalem. The shadows of night were falling as they left the gates. But to their great joy, they again saw...
The star. There it is. The same star that led us here to Jerusalem. It shall lead us to the young Messiah. Oh, joy to the world.
We don't know what Joseph said to these men from afar. It certainly would have been astounding to him to have people visiting him from 500 miles away, and yet not so. After all, he did see shepherds. He saw angels. Why not wise men? And then the gifts. Certainly they would have been puzzling, but yet they wouldn't be. God always seems to work things out. Gold, certainly a good form of currency. Frankincense and myrrh? Frankincense, an incense, a perfume fit for kings. Well, Jesus would be a king. But myrrh? That's used in burial processes. But this king, Joseph knew, would be the savior of the world, and it would be his death that would destroy all death. For that's what the prophecies of the Old Testament spoke of. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Fitting gifts for the newborn king.
Matthew 2, verses 13 to 18. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then, what had been said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more."
Herod the Great. Who was this man? And was he really as cruel as history makes him out to be? Herod certainly was great. From the moment he took position as king in 40 BC, throughout his entire reign until 4 AD, he did many great things, building temples, monuments, even rebuilt the Temple of Jerusalem. Herod was also very cruel, very cunning, very conniving. If he had all thought that you were after him or that someone was ambitious for his throne, he would have that person killed immediately. In fact, Caesar Augustus said of him, "It'd be better to be a swine than one of the sons of Herod." As he neared his own death, and knowing that it was coming, he knew that the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea did not like him, actually hated him, and would not mourn at his death. And so he ordered many of the Jewish leaders should be rounded up and held, and at his death they should be killed. In that way, there would be mourning in the land at his death, because of his death or the Jewish leader's death. Immaterial, there would be mourning.
Matthew 2, verses 19 to 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene."
So what would Joseph have thought about the circumstances, situations, and events of his son Jesus' birth? Certainly, he would have remembered the angel who visited him. He would have remembered that it was an exact quote from Isaiah chapter 7, given in a time when it seemed of total despair that Judah would be overrun and destroyed. God gave a sign. The virgin will be with child. She will bear a son, and he will be called Emmanuel.
Joseph certainly had his problems with rulers, and yet being a devout man, he would remember the prophecy of the ruler to come, as written in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Joseph would have also remembered another prophecy of Isaiah, speaking of the one to come, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who would bring his people into eternity, and all suffering and hardship, all those calamities and difficulties of life would be done away with, as it speaks of in Isaiah chapter 11.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious.
Joseph would have been a man of faith, trusting God, knowing that God would fulfill his promises through this child. But until he did, he would have to trust God and wait. And so you and I trust God and wait.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits: Corey's Lullaby by Corey Pappas. Various pieces from the album Be Still and Know by Laurel Jean. Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber. The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Slatkin, 1989. Bist du bei mir by J.S. Bach. The BBC Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Slatkin, 2004. John Williams, Superman March from Superman. John Williams and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Copyright Deutsche Grammophon Records, GmbH, 2022. Mary, Did You Know? Abbe Carrion, Advent Songs Instrumental, 2019. The Bible in Living Sound, The Wiseman Visit, www.bibleinlivingsound.org.